graduation speeches. And it gave different ideas, and then it said to absolutely never talk longer than 18 minutes. So you can set your watch. I'm going to start now. Gentlemen, ministry is something that you've studied. You've studied well, and you've studied for two or even more years. You've worked hard at it. You've studied hard. You've sacrificed. You've gone without. Sometimes going without meant that you missed family gatherings when you had to hit the books. It meant being in fellowships that you couldn't afford the time to partake with. But now you've arrived, and this is your evening. And congratulations on your evening. You're graduating really to continue in your ministry, but in a sense to prepare to go further in either your current ministry or a new ministry or a field of calling. You told me tonight you're 52 years old. I was 35 when God called us to the mission field. So 52 is not too old either. As God leads and guides you into your ministry, it's an exciting time because the Lord is in control of those circumstances. And as you give your heart to Him, you just are excited to see where God will lead you. One of the things that we learned in mission work was that God is a debtor to no man. Whatever He asks you to do in whatever capacity you think you are sacrificing, He is going to give you so much more than what you could even ask or think. And I stand here tonight as a testament to the truth of that, because God gave us in the years that we were in Africa so many more opportunities and blessings. And as one missionary said, as a missionary, you are a world traveler on a beggar man's budget. And so we were able to see much of the world by the grace of God. But this is your night. And as I address you men and I look at you, I think, you know, there's some similarities to the Apostle Paul and what he was doing in his missionary journey and as he was facing ministry and following the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think in some ways we can like it to the thumping or kicking of a dandelion. I was sitting in a car yesterday and I saw these dandelions blowing through the air. It made me think of this. As these seeds are dispersed and carried by the wind, in the early church, the winds of persecution carried the church out of Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and eventually to the othermost parts of the earth, into Antioch and up into Asia. And at that time also the gospel was being presented to the Gentiles, so it was not only a Jewish belief or Jewish position, but it began to be open to the Gentiles as well. Paul, on his second missionary journey, as we read this evening, as Pastor David Stroop read this evening, they began to look as to where we can do ministry. Where can we go? Where is the Lord leading us in our life? And as he began to look at these different places throughout Asia, I'm not going to try to pronounce them. You did an excellent job, by the way. I won't try to pronounce those. But as the Holy Spirit was, or he was trying to break the gospel into these new territories, the Holy Spirit just came in to set a block and said, no, not here, not here, not here. And I can't think about how frustrating that must have been for Paul to feel that and to know that. And he's wanting to do the work of the Lord, and yet it seems like all these blocks are coming up in his way. Now, for you men in ministry, I think you probably have already experienced that same thing. I know that I have. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do His bidding. And yet it just seems like things are blocked. Things are cut short. I don't have the freedom to be able to do what I think God would have me to do. And Paul was in that same respect in Acts chapter 16. And in verses 6 through 10, he then receives a vision from God of the man of Macedonia. And he said, come over here and help us. And Paul understood that this was a compulsion from the Holy Spirit that he must follow it. And I think Paul understood that because Paul knew what to do from his training and experience from walking with the Lord. And I think this is what we need to grasp as well. We have been through training. Paul followed his pattern. He would always go into a city. He would immediately go into the synagogues and begin to reason with those there and to persuade about Christ being the Messiah, Christ being the Savior of the world. And he offered the gospel, which was his program, to the Jew first. And then when they rejected it, then he would go on to the Gentiles. But as Paul knew his pattern and his training, You gentlemen as well know yours because of your training. You should give great thanks to the faculty for giving you your tools and skill set that will help you the rest of your life, and it will. Probably the best tool that you received is the best tool that I received from BUA as a graduate in 1984. As I told you gentlemen, I was on the fast track at BUA. It took me 8 years to get a four-year degree. So I feel your pain. I know exactly where you are. But the best tool that I received wasn't that I learned everything, but that taught me to think biblically and to think through the issues. And so as the issues of life and the issues of ministry came up, I had the process down that I could think through that and come to the best conclusion, to be biblical and to be practical. And so I think the bottom line in your past two plus years here is this: you're a better person for being here. You're a better person for knowing these gentlemen who have invested their life and ministry into you. And I think you'll know that. But gentlemen, in spite of your training, you'll make mistakes. And I am the chief of that. I'm really good at making mistakes. I'll never forget the first time I went into the Congo in the bush, and I sat among some tribes people, and I was the only white person there, the only person in the Western culture, and I hadn't learned Swahili yet. And they set me down a chair in front of all these people, and they handed me a bowl of liquid, and it had a frothy substance in it. And I couldn't communicate with anybody to know what I was supposed to do with this bowl of liquid. So I pondered it, and I looked at it, and I thought, they either want me to drink it, or they want me to put my hands in it and wash it, wash my hands. So I looked at that, and I said, what do I do? My conclusion was, I would rather wash my hands in something I'm supposed to drink than drink something I'm supposed to wash my hands in. So immediately I put my hands in this bowl, and everyone began laughing at me. Little did I know that it was a bowl of banana juice that was given to me as the guest of honor. And some ladies have been squishing bananas to get all this juice for I don't know how many hours. I didn't know you could get juice from a banana. But nevertheless, it was a great honor and gift to me, and I blew it. Well, gentlemen, you'll probably blow it as well in different aspects of your ministry, and you'll make mistakes. But you know, God is the God of not only the things we do right, but he's also the things that we do wrong. And he uses those opportunities as teaching opportunities and reaching opportunities to reach others with the gospel. Now, Paul knew his training, but he also knew his calling. And God had called him into Macedonia. I don't know what your calling is right now. It might be pastoral ministry with you. I'm not sure. But probably it's pretty certain God didn't come to you in a vision at night and say, come over here and help us. But there still is a fire in your soul. You still have that compulsion deep within your heart to serve your Lord, to serve your sovereign, to serve your kingdom, his kingdom, your king. And with that fire in your soul, you are willing to do whatever it takes, whatever price needs to be paid to do that, because you know it's worth it. And you know your calling. For Terry and I to be called to Africa, God was gracious to us and he allowed us to be called the same night. And we knew that we knew that we knew that it was his calling on our life. But you may not know exactly where you want to go or what exactly you're going to be fulfilling in ministry, but your calling is sure. Maybe you've envisioned your ministry, you have a picture in your mind what it's going to look like, you've planned it, you've mapped it, you've studied, you've worked, you've sacrificed. And at this point, there's only one direction to go. And that direction is forward. And gentlemen, what we learned in our process of going to Africa, as God would move us forward, I had to make sure that I was pointed in that direction and I would have to burn the bridges behind me so that I couldn't retreat. And I encourage you tonight, as God uses you in ministry, as you go forward and take those steps necessary in ministry, that you do the same. Don't look back. There's nothing back there that you need. Everything God has laid out before you is in front of you. It is worth the risk. The gospel's worth the risk. It is worth even the risk of your very own life. One risk is that you may not always end up where you think you're going to go. Paul didn't, did he? He had his mind on going into Asia, but the Holy Spirit blocked that, and he ended up going into Europe instead. And your ministry may be the same way. You don't know where you'll end up, and you don't know how it would be like, what your ministry would be like. You know, when I left BUA as a graduate, I never took a youth ministry course. I didn't want to be a youth pastor. What do you think my first ministry was? Youth ministry. I took one mission course because it was required. Didn't want to be a missionary. And if so, I certainly didn't want to go to a place like Africa. Hawaii was looking pretty good, maybe. Africa, no way. So where do you think God used us? In Africa. And so the Lord can kind of throw you a curveball every once in a while and kind of move your plans into His plans. He did that with Paul. He did it with us. And there's a term for that. It's called the sovereignty of God. It's called the providence of God. And let me encourage you to rest in that and take great comfort in that, because our God is in control. And He is using you and will use you to build His church and His kingdom. And one of the things I found as we were in three different countries, Congo and Rwanda and Kenya, through circumstances that were not our own choosing, through all that I came to this conclusion: I serve a person, I don't serve a place. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, I am yours, and you can use me wherever you would have me to be used. And sometimes it's easy to do it, and sometimes those days are very difficult. But in them, I learned that, you know what? You can really trust the Lord with your life. This Bible that we have studied and you have studied is a great devotional book, but it is so much more than that, because it is the very truth of God. It is the very Word of God. And when we were looking at facing Africa as a continent, we had to decide this: can I stake my life and the life of my wife and the life of my family on this book and God's promises in it? And you know as well as I do, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And Paul knew that as well. And so as Paul learned, as I've learned, as you're learning as well, ministry doesn't always turn out the way you envisioned it. It always doesn't. But my second point is this: ministry always works out the way God planned it. After Paul's distinct vision of that man calling him over to Macedonia, Paul goes to great lengths to get there, only to find out that when he got there, there were no men. There was no synagogue to follow his typical pattern of going in the synagogue and reasoning about the Savior. Where did he end up? At the river with the ladies washing clothes. Now, I'm not a great clothes washer. You can ask my wife. If I had a choice, I think I'd rather be in the synagogue. But that's where Paul was doing, and he went there to meet people. And it's interesting, since there was no synagogue, which means there were not even 10 Jewish men, because it was a requirement of 10 head of households or 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. So Paul went to meet the women by the river. And it's hard to fathom what might be going through his mind. He might be saying, this is not something I planned. This is not something the way I would see it. I had this great vision to come over here and to start the work of Jesus Christ here in Europe. And here I am down by the river next to the ladies washing clothes. Perhaps he even questioned God in his mind. Perhaps he even questioned his vision that he received. Perhaps he questioned his call. But when it got down to it, where the rubber meets the road, Paul fulfilled his ministry. He knew that he had to do it. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "Woe to me," he said this, "woe to me if I preach not the gospel." And so Paul looked at that occasion as an opportunity, and he gave the gospel to these ladies. And so we see that even though Paul's plan may have been changed, God's plan is always better. Because one of those ladies was Lydia, a seller of purple from Thyatira. She came to know Christ, and so did her household. And she became the seed for the best and most supportive of Paul's churches, the church in Philippi, which was incidentally also the first church in the continent of Europe. How would you like to have that hallmark with your name attached to it, that I was part of the first church in this city or that city? And so God revealed his plan to him, to Paul, and Paul fulfilled that plan. And God reveals his plan to us in steps as well, sometimes very little steps. I think sometimes if we knew the overall length of God's plan for us, we would probably balk and run. Sometimes following the Lord in ministry is not that you can see the whole path ahead of you, But it's just that you're walking down a dark hall and you can't see anything, and you're stumbling through this hallway by faith, and God, for a quick millisecond, gives you a light, and you see an appearance of what this ministry is going to look like, what your future is going to look like, and then it goes dark. And then you begin to follow the next few steps with that vision, and then the darkness overcomes you, and you begin to doubt, you begin to worry, and then God, by His grace, gives you another quick millisecond of light. So much of our ministry past has been that way. And I'm seeing it now, even as we're living it out in these days. And I think you gentlemen will as well. God is so much better at building His church than I will ever be, and that you will ever be. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." One of the things I choose in my ministry was not to compete with Him. He'll build His church. Lord, help me to be faithful, to be a part of that building process. Help me to take those steps one at a time, to follow Him in the path that He leads me, to do it in His way and to do it in His timing. As graduates of BIA, you are standing at the threshold of the rest of your ministry. Run your race well. Run is to win. But remember, there are two things that are certain. Your vision, your calling, will probably not turn out exactly as you thought it would, or as you planned it would, or you expected it would. Your Macedonian man may be a woman from Thyatira, but that's okay, because God is sovereign. It is certain that the real future, the one God plans for you, will be better than anything you could dream. That Macedonian man will become a Lydia of Thyatira, but will also become the crown of your ministry. God bless you today on this, your graduation.